We have been in a series. That series is Our Season to Bless. That's our series that we're looking at. We have been dealing with the last couple of weeks where we're taking a look at the element of qualified to bless. If you haven't spoken God bless you lately over a person, then you might not remember you're really qualified in Jesus to bless and to bring that blessing from chaos to blessing. And during, Father's Day, how wonderful we talked about blessing our children, how important that was to speak a blessing over our children. And then last time we were together, we were taking a look at reclaiming family blessings. And today is part two of that message, reclaiming family blessings. Now, what's important about that, why we are looking at this series, we want to look, I have my Bible, it's the New Living Translation, but I want to highlight our verse. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. This is our launch pad verse, but we're going to be seeing a number of verses, and I hope you've got some notes down. You can take a look at that and follow along with us. But it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing." Isn't that exciting? It really is what we're called to do. We're not out there to be concerned, but God gives us things to be able to bless. So I think it's going to be important we do that. But I'll just bless you with one quick joke, because some of you say, "Pastor, what was the joke today?" Thank you, Via Wayne. Hey, what is blue and white and lightweight? Light blue. There it is. Thank you, Wayne. I'm going to give that. Yeah. You can go out there and wow your friends. We're going to take a look at here. We're believing this message is going to help us in so many ways. So let's just once again pause. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us. Remove distractions. Get us settled in. Lord, it's you and us. It's me and you. Lord, we want to hear from you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Reclaiming family blessings. When we were together last week, we are asking each other, do you sense where there are things in your life that seem to be lost blessings? You just know that somehow things that you were anticipating never transpired. It was somehow lost. It was not really brought to fruition. Sometimes we see certain areas that we have patterns of behavior that, like, man, that's what my relatives used to be doing, and I find it's happening now among our family units. And we're just talking primarily negative patterns, patterns that somehow will come in and start to infiltrate, and we realize what is going on. It seems to transcend generations. In other words, if you really do a little research, a little DNA study, it's like, wow, that could be because my relatives were from that destination. This is kind of a pattern that's happening. And we're talking primarily negative patterns that we could detect. And we're believing today that we're going to reclaim family blessings. If you have faith in Jesus, man, you're doing good. You're solid. You should be experiencing things. We'll talk about that. But just in case, sometimes we get a little bit myopic, like, well, I'm good. Who cares about the relatives? I care about my children and now my grandchildren. So things that might jump me could land on the next generation. I want to put a stop to that in the name of Jesus. I don't want certain patterns that I know my relatives are into or a part of. That's not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to take a chance. There are things that happen spiritually that really we want to put a pause on that they don't manifest physically. So it's important that we consider those things once again. Now, you realize that so much of just clinics now are asking for background. What's your background? When you go in, you fill out the big, long tablet, and they want to know what's your family history. Is there any history of both medical or maybe mental? So they realize that things could be passed down. And so with that, we're taking a look at what that could be as well. What would be what areas that we'd say, man, we really want to put a stop on that? What would be some negative patterns that we wouldn't want to see happen in our family or our children? Here are some that we just kind of went through and talked about, but just when I take a look at negative patterns, I'm not talking about somebody that would probably maybe chew their food with their mouth open. You know what I mean by that. We're talking with regards to maybe alcoholism, sexual addictions, mental or physical sickness, deep racial prejudices, rage, gambling, addictive behavior, suicidal tendencies, eating disorders, or cutting. There was an area, it was interesting, talking with our missionary, Jared Mueller. We've talked about this, what happens in El Salvador. We were recounting in a certain particular Foursquare church here in Southern California when Jared was a single minister serving at this church. And I happened to know and went to school with one of the pastors, but three individual pastoral couples had moral improprieties. There was adultery that happened, three in a row. And then incoming pastor saying, something's going on. There's a pattern here that shouldn't be. One, we could say, okay, what poor decision. And they started seeking the Lord and praying, and God started revealing in this old church building, a 1940s building, that in the attic there was a pentagram. They were doing satanic rituals in that church, and they started seeing certain areas in the corner of the building. They discovered this when they started doing a more of a cleanup area, and so naturally they took authority over those areas. Naturally, the church is literally thriving now, but it's an amazing thing. That is Pastor Jared, our missionary's experience, and we're aware that those things are very real. Now, if you just think, well, we have a broken society, people do weird things, but why? Sometimes there are particular patterns and their powers or influences that make our life very, very difficult. So let's take a look. How do those patterns get passed down? Real quick, we saw, first of all, the influence by family patterns. Most of us have learned how to respond to life's challenges. Most of us have seen certain things, belief systems, our values, because of the way our family has brought us exposure to and confidence in. Another area would be influenced by environment. Sometimes we find some of our young people, they don't really have adults that are engaged with them. So sometimes our young people end up learning patterns from their friends. How to behave? What is it like? You know, if you have not found out that people who have discovered that sexual addictions stuck on pornography, they're now finding it's not just happening exposure to that at junior high level, it's now 9 and even 8 years of age. They are being exposed to pornography and then become addicted. So when we take a look at those things, the environment can be very influential. Just take a look at the last 2 years with us. Last 2 years, we're talking the COVID quarantine. There are legitimate, God-fearing Christians. I know them. Courageous, bold, but for some reason, after this last 2 years, they're afraid of getting out in public. It's something that's most unusual. I don't know. I could be talking to you. If that's the case, you were once courageous. You just, I would like that little childlike faith, like let's go big for God and let's tear up the world for Jesus. And then COVID hit. It's like, well, I better not talk to anybody. I could get sick. So it's amazing how the environment can display things and cause people to change. Also, then the influence by demonization. Not that a Christian could be have a demon, but we could be demonized. And that's where just an infiltration comes in, and that we're not maintaining a spiritually strong approach with God. And so we just assume that these little patterns of fear and anxiety, that's just maybe I'll just get some anxiety medicines and I'll be okay. What if it's something of darkness? We know that we're so grateful. We talked about how that our Supreme Court has brought back the value of proper laws back into the states to make decisions. I'm looking forward to some proper decisions about even the public school. when we talk and hear about certain elements where our children could be being groomed for areas that are not appropriate sexually, they get groomed. Sometimes as parents, sometimes as Christians, sometimes as a partner who is renting from a friend, we have to be careful because we could find, even for example, that we are allowing our children to be groomed in areas that are not right. How would that look? Well, how about just that area where that we call that beautiful thing called white magic? You know, the area where you have little creatures or little cards or little characters or cartoons where those little individuals can cast spells and can pronounce things, or they have powers that we, you know, as people, we're just, those are not human abilities. And what that could be is where you're grooming, or the enemy is grooming works of darkness for that generation coming on. They're either going to do one of two ways. They're either going to say God doesn't do miracles, because I was told that that little particular pattern of entertainment, that's not really real, those little spell-binding elements. So they're not going to believe in God, or they're going to say, well, I think it is real, and I'm going to invite those things into my life to help me to acquire success. Who knows? Grooming, so that influenced by demonization. But let's take a look here, because we're going to deal with that element as we begin part two. Let's take our communion cup in hand. Let's make sure that's close by. One of the things that's so significant for us is to remind ourselves that we are free from any form of a curse as Christians. And so we're going to show steps how to maintain that freedom, but especially protect and maintain. Now, you're not going to open this up, so just hang on to it. Don't open it. I just said grab it. Don't open it. Some of you are already eating it. We're going to feed you in a little bit. Don't eat your bagel yet. You could go after the butter, but not that. But we're going to take a look here for a moment. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. See what the scripture says about Christians, because we talked about our ability to bless and to take authority over things, the legal position we have in Christ, and then we have that basically the positional being that we're priests. But look it out. Here's what verse 13 says. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now that's who we are. Man, we're blessed, and that blessing that you and I saw in Deuteronomy 28, we should have that physical. There's one thing to have that spiritual blessing, but to have that physical blessing where you just know there's prosperity that's coming in our lives. That's important. That's important. And if that's not happening, we're just saying what could be the hang-up and how to reclaim family blessings. So we're dealing with now, for example, I want to share, because I do find that there are people that say, well, I know Jesus has done this, but if you're not experiencing this, you have to experience what God has given to you. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, just a little side note here. This is the suffering servants, the prophetic word, how Christ would suffer for us. But there's one portion that's worth noting. Verse 4 says, yet it was our weakness he, talking about Jesus, carried. It was our sorrow that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. Now, I love that. That's a great passage, that if Jesus bore our weaknesses and our sorrows, why would any one of us want to be carrying that? Why would any one of us? If Jesus bore our weakness, why are you weak in those areas? How do I experience that victory? Man, you believe that and you receive that. That's what we're dealing with. Reclaiming family blessings is so important. You're dealing with spiritual things here. We could talk about how to be a nicer person to your dog at home or to your spouse for sure. But the idea being there's a spiritual element here, and it's important that we engage. So let's take a look now about the seven steps that I present to you, because we're believing for so many of us, and possibly you, the return of just the wealth of ministry. Remember when we were so engaged in ministry? That wealth where God provided gifts and talents and abilities. What happened to those things? Why are those things seem to be fleeting? Well, those areas that God has given to us in so many great ways is important for us once again to consider. I want, as your notes, you can see Leviticus 26, verse 40. Would you join me there at home with, or maybe you're at the break room as well. But Leviticus 26, 40, I'm going to use this as a launch pad because I think it's so significant about a whole nation being restored. You know, there are people that are reclaiming blessings for the state of California. There are people that are claiming the blessings for America. Lord, bring back the blessings. There are people that are claiming blessings for their family. There really are. But there are sometimes I find Christians don't claim the blessings for their own soul. They don't say, man, what? How come I just don't have that going on? We almost get jealous, like it's happening to everybody else. But remember, God is no respecter of persons. If he's done it for somebody else, say, man, that dude, that lady, they look like they've got their act going on. He'll do it for you. But it is interesting to note here in Leviticus 26, verse 40, let's see what God says about steps, and then we're going to apply it. And we're going to just remind, because of Jesus, we can have these promises. Let's look here, verse 40. But at least my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile toward me. Now, you remember when we were together that God says, listen, I'm going to bless you in such wonderful ways, but if you ever disobey me, and we use the word, it pays to obey. Doesn't it? It pays to obey God. Where else would you want to like hang your hat and live for except for Jesus? But here God was saying, there's going to come a time there people are going to come, oh man, I had it better when I was walking tight with God. And that's what he's talking about, confessing and confessing what the ancestors have done. Let's go on, verse 41. And when I have turned their hostility back on them and brought them to the land of their enemies, then at last their stubborn hearts will be humbled, and they will pay for their sins. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land must be abandoned to enjoy its years of Sabbath rest as it lies deserted. At last, the people will pay for their sins, for they have continually rejected my regulations and despised my decrees. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them while they are in exile in the land of their enemies. And I love that. It speaks so much about the heart of God. Even though you and I, remember those times when we were wayward from the Lord? He still just embraces us, loves us. It's just everything about his character and his nature. He says, I will not cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out, for I am the Lord their God. For their sake, I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the nations, that I may be their God. I am the Lord. So there's something where people say, man, let's get back to making God God in our lives. So let's go, because we're talking about Jesus was really, again, wanting to remind us it's so healthy for us to obey him, whatever and however he speaks. But let's take a look at our notes now. The first area is confess your own iniquities. Verse 40 said that in Leviticus 26, 40, where it says, but at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile toward me. Now, let's just assume for a moment, we know Jesus has died for our sins. I'm so grateful for that. All we have to do is just confess that, and he washes that clean. Wouldn't he also wash clean the sins of our ancestors? That's important we take a look at that element. Sometimes people say, well, I don't think I've done that much bad in my life. But take a look here. I think it's worth noting in 1 John 1, verse 8. Scripture says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and following or showing that his word has no place in our hearts. I sure like Psalm 119. We've been in that in our Bible reading. Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. But what's important to recognize here, it is interesting because we might find those times that we slow down just enough. Where is it as we make those steps of reclaiming family blessing? Scripture says they start with themselves. Take responsibility for ourselves. So in what areas the scripture, and especially in Leviticus? Well, letter A, the unfaithfulness, which means it really just comes out of unbelief or the possibility of distrust. They don't really trust me. It's fine to just believe God for our salvation. Everybody trusts God for salvation. But every now and then we find that there are certain people that don't trust God for the monthly rent. I can believe for salvation, but I've got some issues and I'm really getting anxious about these things. Trust in the Lord. Yes. Believe in him. The second letter B is rebellion. We just choose our own way. And that's what this particular passage is dealing with. Sometimes we could even just say, is there areas where we have chosen or our whole family has chosen another way apart from God? This is what I want to do as a pattern in these next few moments as we go through these steps. I want just to hold the communion cup or communion element, any bread or the juice, just hold it. And let's just have our seats or where we're maybe just reclining on be that altar moment. Let's take a moment, allow the Holy Spirit to speak. If there's an area that you know he's going to reveal that you've allowed to be a pattern, let's ask for his forgiveness right now. Lord, we thank you for forgive because of Jesus. We thank you for that. That's what we're going to be practicing in each of these steps, just hearing the voice of the Lord and then showing how you could do this even at your own place. Let's go to number two, confess the iniquities of your forefathers. It's interesting because Leviticus 26, verse 40 again, on our point two, says, but at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me. Now, it's interesting when we take a look at something like that. I list Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel, I've been reading Daniel in preparation for the teachings on Wednesdays, but Daniel does something that he's reading Jeremiah the prophet who prophesies that after 70 years, the nation of Israel being basically in captivity, God's going to bring them out. But he just doesn't take it for granted. He seeks God and how he's going to do that. And he starts in this Daniel 9, verse 3, by first confessing his own sins. You can read that later. And then he confesses his relative's sins. Then he confesses his nation's sin. It's an amazing thing. And it's very powerful because he starts talking about just angelic beings and the battle that's going on in the heavenlies. It's worth reading. But there are things that sometimes could be infiltrating over your home or maybe your own block or your neighborhood or even our city. So when we look here, it's worth noting. I think it's worth finding out as well if you take a moment because sometimes if your family is open to that, you pour your family into this and say, we're going to be just coming against certain areas that we just know could be just wrongdoings by our relatives. Sometimes they're going to have a hard time with that because they just think, well, that's just cultural. Oh, that was just our family tradition. But you know the Lord could be speaking to you about something. And that's where it's like, Lord, then as a Christian, maybe the only Christian in my family, then I'm going to confess on behalf of my family. That's important. So when we look here in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it's worth noting because we want to stop things from jumping over us or skipping to the next generation. I believe you and I have that kind of authority to say in the name of Jesus, that will not affect my family. It will not. It will not. In the name of Jesus. But it's worth noting here in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, check it out. It's helpful to have the Bible speak to us. It says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. And through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Every missionary knows this verse. People are saying, well, what is God going to do about somebody who's never heard the gospel? God speaks. He literally, if you ever go in clear skies and see the variable billions of stars out there, what is God saying? I exist. I exist. And there should be something that stirs up in the heart of every generation. Who is the one that made that? Scripture says that those people are without excuse. I didn't say it. Scripture said that. So when we see here in verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even gave him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. It's worth noting, sometimes, like, how did that particular culture in that sector of the world go into that direction? Who knows? God knows. But we do see something here in Scripture that's worth noting, that God is giving a witness. It's called a natural witness. A natural witness that God really does exist. And somehow, like you had something in your heart that said, I think God really is getting a hold of me. He's speaking to me, and I want to know him too. And then God sends a missionary from Hope Chapel. Who knows? But wouldn't it be great? Some of you, we've been praying for certain missionaries in certain nations, and somebody we may not even know will be sent to that nation because of the prayers. God said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. It's ready. It's ready. So how exciting for us to see that and important. So people have asked, I've got a couple of questions that came to me. The person asked, what if I'm adopted? And you talk about relationships and then things that skip a generation. Well, God recognizes legal authority. And if you know of particular patterns, you could say that's not going to affect my family anymore in the name of Jesus. So it's important. Let's take our cups and just hold them. Let's put a pause here. Ask the Holy Spirit, just closing our eyes. Lord, show us any traditions or cultures within our family that seem to plague us. He can do that. Lord, you know. You know. So, Lord, we want to thank you. We are believing that even today, those things are going to stop and will not skip or jump to another generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to number three, claim and receive the blessings that are in Jesus Christ. That's important. Remember, we could go ahead and say, well, I think God has that, but if you believe that, but you're not experiencing it, it's important for you to say, I feel I'm not only forgiven, God has blessings for me, and to claim that is so significant. So let's take a look, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. So it says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Let's take a look at that for a moment. Isn't it interesting to claim what God has blessed you with? Say, I believe that, but I'm going to claim those blessings. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, which says this, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Can you see that there with me, dear friends? If you know God has a blessing for you, has a blessing for your family, to not only just receive that, so significant. Let's take our communion for a moment. Our cups, shall we? Okay. I'm going to be just a little while longer. Okay. Thank you. We're going to pause for a moment. Let's just take a look. And if there's something you're wrestling with, feeling like you got ripped off, it hasn't come your direction. You close your eyes for a moment. Okay? Let's go silent here for a moment. Let's go silent. Allow the Holy Spirit just to, something you're wrestling with, and you're going to remove that in the name of Jesus. Doubts that God would ever give something to you. You've been praying about that. Lord, I believe you will do this. I am claiming that blessing. I believe God's word in Jesus' name. Let's go to number 4. Change old behavioral patterns. It's interesting because aren't we having fun right now? Doesn't this just, when you sit down and you start saying, man, what else does God have for me? Changing old behavioral patterns. When you're starting to take a look at things that you just know is not a pattern God wants you to continue to engage in, check out with me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. See what it says here. But that, it says, verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So let's take a look for a moment. Our step here, we're reclaiming family blessings. Now, God may is going to start showing you right now things that you could be engaged in that is contrary. He's already spoke to you about it before, but maybe not. Let's pause for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit just reveal that to you. Lord, you can show us, is there something we need to lay down or is there something we need to pick up? Lord, we believe it obey you is of the utmost importance. Help us, O Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm hearing some things from the Lord. How about you? Isn't it a great exercise to do something like this? Let's look at number 5. Humble yourself and receive forgiveness. And forgiveness, forgiving others. We're going to continue on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Just take a look here with this. It says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So we're taking a look at this particular one about forgiving, receiving forgiveness, we've already done that, but forgiving others. Wow, if I want to make sure that those blessings come upon me and upon my family, there are some things that need to be addressed and done, and this is a big one. One in particular, three ways of handling that, we ask for forgiveness. We've already done that. You can see that. Ask for forgiveness. Second, then we release people from our judgments. I'll tell you, some people are in very bad physical health because they withhold forgiveness and they maintain a grudge. That's important. You and I, James says, there's only one judge and one lawgiver, and guess what? We're not it. So it's important for us to consider that and to realize that. I know if I sin, I want mercy. How about it, right? Oh, Lord, mercy. But if somebody sins against me, man, I want judgment. That person needs to have their bacon burned. And it's just a human nature. But we want to release them and help them and keep a humble heart. That's what Malachi, the prophet, he showed you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord. Lord, we need you. We need you. Let's take a moment now and pause and just consider who is it that you might need to release from your own judgment? You're so mad at them. It's a seething element that if you ever thought about their name or even smelled their cologne or perfume, it just something would come up. Lord, we're going to make a decision to release them from our judgment. We want them to do right and to experience right. In Jesus' name. Let's go to number 6. Thank you. This is so significant, groundbreaking for some people who have never experienced something like this. Number 6, begin to pray for others, even our enemies. I won't go into Job, but I will just say it's interesting to note if you look at Job chapter 42, 7 through 10, and he is asked by God to pray for his three friends that talked smack to him and about God. God was upset. And he says, have Job pray for you, and then I will hear his prayers. You take a look at that. It's very powerful. And when Job prayed, not only was Job's friends released, but Job was richly blessed. Double of everything he had. Double of everything he had. That's verse 10. So it's important for us to consider that. To pray for even our enemies. Some things really happen. The most healing times in my life, when I've been most injured by somebody or people groups, is that I prayed a blessing over them. Lord, bless them. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says that. He says in the New King James rendering, says this, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Bless them. So that's what it is, our season of blessing, but it's important for us. God restores quality and quantity of life to people when we make sure we release people and even start praying a blessing, because that's what God wants to do. Let's take a moment now. Let's just pause. Is there anybody the Holy Spirit could remind you, Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, of those things that he would want you to say, I want you to pray for those people? Or that person. Just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Lord, we want to thank you. You're going to give us the grace to pray a blessing for our enemies. We're going to pray a blessing for everyone, but especially those that wound is so thick and so very present in us, Lord. We don't want to do this, but we believe your word that we are to bless even our enemies. And Lord, we want to thank you for that in Jesus' name. Finally, I want to just add, number 7, begin to bless our families and those around us. that's really where we're at. It's really what I want to kind of highlight with you. Begin to bless. There's something when you just feel like you're right with God and things are going so well. To be able to bless is so enriching, and it really does change the environment, your living arrangement, your relationships. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And one of the things that's so important for us when we take a look, I'd like us to go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse 9. And it says this so clearly, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Isn't that wonderful? You have two families. You have a biological family, and you should have a faith family. You should have some that, man, they know me, I know them, and you're invested in that. And Scripture says, well, you have opportunity, especially those of the household of faith. God will bless you as you bless others. What would that mean? Not only just to speak, but to be able to meet a need wherever that is or however that is. And I want to encourage you. That's why we call our koinonia courtyard. It really means having all things in common, to share certain things. And to be able to experience that is so significant. Well, I'd love to embellish a little bit more, but I want to put a little bit of a slowing pause to allow the Lord to maybe speak to us on some things before we actually have our communion element. And I hope this was helpful for you to see some things, if nothing more than to really consider areas to just in any fashion or any time where you're just feeling, I need to make sure things are cleaned up with me or cleaned up in our home or cleaned up in our environment or cleaned up in our work environment. It's powerful when the blessings of God come and no sin happens. It's wonderful. But let me take a moment here. I want to just take a pause, and we're going to just worship the Lord for a moment before we have communion. Shall we do that? Let's just take a moment, and let's just worship Him quietly in your heart. Would you do that? Would you just do that and say, Lord, I want to thank You for setting me free. I want to thank You for bringing the blessings to our home. I want to thank You, Lord, for blessing our faith family here called Hope Chapel and those that gather at home. Lord, thank You for Your goodness over our lives. We don't fear You. We reverence You. We acknowledge Your Lordship. And we want to thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Great is the hand of God. Great is the hand of God. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's go ahead and take our communion elements now, shall we? Would you go ahead and separate the clear cover, removing the wafer from that? Thank you. Love Isaiah 53, where it says so clearly that He bore our weakness and carried our sorrows. Don't, if there's anything that may be something said or done where you just feel like, whoa, maybe I allowed something or maybe I've overlooked something or permitted something, well, there's such mercy in the Lord. And if He showed you anything today, isn't He wonderful? It just really shows you where He's wanting to work, what He's wanting to take care of. But let's believe that because of the stripes on His body, we're healed. There's wholeness that comes. So as we lift that portion up, we really do thank the Lord because of Calvary's cross. So Lord, we lift our portion to You. And in so doing, it's a testimony. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Let's go ahead and snap that wafer and participate together. Let's go ahead and we're going to reveal our juice. As you know, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about this juice represents the blood shed for the removal of our sins. So as we lift that up, that's why we kind of held our communion. Just when At times, there could be that same work of darkness that caused us to succumb to a particular pattern or conduct, makes us feel so guilty, makes us feel so condemned. But to remind, because of Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us, no more, no more shame, no more, no more. Those things are forgiven. And God cleans us up. And we want to thank him for that right now as we lift that portion up. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and have your portion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How wonderful is our Redeemer. How great you are. I want to take the opportunity. You have been a tremendously engaged group of people. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.